Good evening. We've reached our appointed start time, so I'd like to move us forward. I'm Joe Pica, and I'm the hearing officer for tonight. These public hearings are an extension of the process of soliciting public input. In advance of these public hearings, the Commission has held 9 town hall meetings, including at least one in each of the 4 districts, and at schools in both the City of Wilmington and in New Castle County. This is the 4th public hearing of 5 that will be held. All of the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission meetings, including meetings of each of the 5 committees, have been open to the public and posted on the commission and district websites. To get the word out about the public meeting, including the hearings, postings have been made to the solutionsfordelawareschools.com website. Let me repeat that, solutionsfordelawareschools.com. The Solutions for Wilmington Schools Facebook page, the district websites, and with community organizations such as the YMCA. The information was also shared by the members of the commission and its committees with various networks throughout the county and the city. Just a few procedural items for the record. I'll be reading from a script, and later in that script, I will explain how those interested in speaking have the opportunity to make themselves heard tonight. So, to move to the script. Good evening. I declare this public hearing to be open. My name is Joe Pica. I am the co-chair of the Redistricting Committee of the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission, and I have been appointed by the chair of that commission to conduct this public hearing. The Wilmington Education Improvement Commission Interim Redistricting Report was released on November the 17th. We are here tonight to gather public comment on that report. This is not a question and answer session, and that's important for everyone to understand. We are actually precluded by regulations from answering questions the public might have. There are others in the room who are able to answer questions if you have them. And if you speak to the staff or one of the people standing in the room, they should be able to direct you to someone that can answer a question for you. This hearing provides the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission and the State Board of Education with an opportunity to receive public comment on the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission's interim report released on November 17th. A court reporter is present so that an accurate record of this hearing can be made. It will be necessary for each speaker to clearly identify him or herself by name and affiliation before beginning to speak so that the court reporter will be able to note who you are in the transcript. I'm also joined at the front table by Henry Harper, who is co-chair of the Redistricting Committee of the Improvement Commission. The record of this hearing and the other 4 hearings will be provided to the members of the Commission and the members of the State Board of Education, together with any written or electronic comments received at this hearing or outside of this hearing between November the 17th and January the 14th. This meeting is also being recorded, and that recording will also be posted and shared with the State Board of Education for their use. We will proceed in the following manner. We'll take comments from anyone who desires to speak. There are sign-up sheets at the back of the room. Someone is signing in right now. Those wishing to offer testimony during the hour and a half provided for the public hearing must sign up. Sign up began at 6 p.m. this evening and will end at 7:30 p.m., at which time we'll collect the remaining sign-up sheets. We will allow individuals to speak in the order in which they signed up, and I'll begin with the first sign-up sheet now. Each individual will have 3 minutes to speak. Each group will be allowed 5 minutes to speak. Those giving testimony will be given a 30-second warning by our timer here in the front row, and then will be told to stop after their time is up. For those who have come this evening with questions, again, I'm sorry, but procedural guidelines don't allow us to answer questions at this public hearing. Testimony will be from up here on the stage so that we can project it. Sorry, we only have one microphone. The first speaker tonight is Julia Noonan.
Hello, my name is Julia Noonan. I happen to be a teacher at Bancroft Elementary, but I'm here tonight just speaking for myself. I wanted to be sure that in any further publications coming out from the commission, that when they list unit counts and how they're earned, they also list how they're spent, because it leaves the impression that this unit count accounts for this classroom teacher, full stop. So if you could please make sure that that is clear to people in the press and to people that you're sharing the information with, that unit counts don't go just for a classroom teacher. Thank you.
Mark Nardent? Is that how your name is spelled? If you just pronounce your name again.
My name is Mark Nardent. I'm the parent of a 4-year-old who should start at Shortridge as a kindergartner next year. I went to public schools in Delaware. Most of the time, I think I got a great education. I don't think the schools are in the state that they were when I was a student, which was a long, long time ago. My plea is an emotional one, and that is I believe that if you think the schools need reform, that you need to be part of that process. Your children need to be part of the process. I'm dismayed and I'm a little frustrated because I very much want my children to be part of that process too, but I don't feel like at this point I can compromise the quality of their education for that. We will make some decisions as a family about what we're going to do with our kids, but I do want the state board, the legislature, when they consider this plan, please consider the children first, do all you can for them, and I want to thank this body for all the hard work you've done here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nardo. Kathy Thompson.
Good evening. My name's Kathy Thompson. Say it like this. How's that? Good evening. My name's Kathy Thompson. I happen to be a member of the Red Clay School Board, but I'm here as an individual. I am not speaking on behalf of the board. I have expressed it during the school board meetings at times, but I am troubled by a couple of fundamental things about the commission. I am troubled that the legislation and that the commission as originally set up took away rights of the voters. So, as you know, and we had gotten an opinion indicating there was an unconstitutionality or a question of the constitutionality regarding the initial legislation, because as the law, and I don't have it in front of me because I didn't bring it with me tonight, but as the law was crafted in order to change the district boundaries, there needed to be action, and it had to affect the whole state, and there needed to be a referendum in the districts that were affected for the voters voting on the redistricting. That has been taken away by this whole action, and that troubles me tremendously. And I'll speak more about that at our board meeting as it comes up. I am also very concerned about the amount and the timing of the materials. This is a very, very important subject, and there are lengthy materials that are published over time. I know the most recent interim report is over 150 pages, and additional comments keep coming out. And it's very difficult as a working person to stay on top of all that material, to be able to really digest it and understand it and make some kind of reasoned comment about it. So the timing, the fast and furious work of the timing of all the materials concerns me. I also think the time here is very compressed. And it has been. This whole thing has been happening in less than a year's time. And I think the compression also really gets in the way of people understanding and having a real voice in what is actually going on. So the timing and the compression bothers me. I also, as I've expressed, am very concerned because I do think red clay in particular is going to be unfairly and disproportionately impacted financially. And I'm very concerned about that as a Red Clay School Board member. As we know, 30 to 40% of the funds end up being local funds. And we, you know, whatever the district is, we're going to have to get those local funds and pay locally. 30 seconds left. I've spoken about that before. I'm concerned about the redistricting. I don't believe there's any fundamental or clear basis for doing it. And I'm very concerned about the resolution that's being passed because I've seen a draft, it keeps changing, and the one thing it doesn't do is allow Red Clay to have a voice if the funding is the necessary funding is not adequate. It says the commission will determine it in conjunction with the affected districts. Red Clay needs a very distinct voice because Red Clay alone is uniquely impacted by this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Thompson. Jacqueline Jernigan?
Jenkins.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Dr. Jacqueline Jenkins, and I'm here representing the Wilmington Education Strategy Think Tank, known as WEST. Dear Dr. Allen and Wilmington Education Improvement Commissioners, we, the members of the Wilmington Education Strategy Think Tank, WEST, appreciate the depth of the work that has been put into the Commission's interim plan entitled Redistricting in the City of Wilmington and Newcastle County, a transition resource and implementation plan. As you know, our group of concerned citizens has been working since 2013 to develop, prioritize, and advance specific goals for the benefit of Wilmington students, including one, the reduction of districts that serve the city, two, the development of an equitable weighted funding formula addressing student need, and three, the establishment of an authoritative role for Wilmington in the continuous improvement of the education of its residents. We are pleased to see these priorities reflected in the WEAC recommendations earlier this year. And in endorsing WEAC's action agenda, we committed to supporting viable action steps and resource-oriented proposals. The ideal presented here and our ongoing work are evidence of that commitment. WEST supports the Commission's plan with conditions. We believe there are several key principles that must be the foundation of the ongoing work of the Commission, State, and the General Assembly for any plan to succeed. Our continued support will be based on indication that these are accepted and pursued. Resources first. The transformation of the structure of school funding to be weighted towards student need is critical, and achieving this must take precedence in the governor's recommended budget and in the decisions made during the 2016 legislative session. Address concentrated poverty, the continued proliferation and maintenance of schools with highly concentrated poverty and inequitable distribution of resources is unacceptable. Commitment to equity. Policies to ensure equity must be central to any process moving forward at every level, district to state. No opting out. Colonial and Brandywine school districts' status quo positions are unacceptable. Getting the metro district right, a consolidated metropolitan city-county school district is highly desirable, but we feel further deliberation is needed regarding its ideal configuration to ensure the above priorities are pursued. We have included a table on page 3 to further explain these positions and have attached reports on West's position on school funding reform. We take seriously our responsibility to facilitate the best possible opportunities for our youngest citizens to succeed. We thank the members of the commission for doing the same and seeing the value in our expertise. We look forward to continuing to work together toward these goals. Sincerely, the Wilmington Education Strategy Think Tank. Ray Jones Avery, Executive Director, Christina Cultural Arts Center. Namdi Chukwuocha, Wilmington City Councilman and Chair of Education, Youth, and Families Committee. Theopolis K. Gregory Sr., President, Wilmington City Council. Shannon Griffin, Community Organizer, ACLU of Delaware. Lynn Howard, Consultant, Christina Cultural Arts Center. Jacqueline Jenkins, Chief Strategy Advisor, Office of the Mayor of the City of Wilmington. Kathleen McCray, Executive Director, ACLU of Delaware. Rourke Moore, Special Projects, Office of the Mayor of the City of Wilmington. Maurice Pritchett, Chief Executive Officer, Pritchett Associates. And J.P. Street, Newcastle County Councilman. Thank you.
Do you have a document?
I will email it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jenkins. Henry Clampett.
Good evening. I'm Henry Clampett. I formerly served on the Charter School of Wilmington's Board of Directors. I no longer serve on that board, and I'm here speaking on my own behalf, and generally on behalf of citizens in the state of Delaware tonight. In October of this year, I offered some WIAC-related suggestions to the Red Clay Board in public comment, and so tonight I offer you a summary version updated of those comments. The first of my two main points is to talk about WIAC and the voice of the taxpayer. A key constituency which needs to be considered and have more voice and support from WIAC is the taxpayer. It might be up to the WIAC to articulate the funding needed, but please leave it to the legislature to decide on tax authority or lack thereof. The public deserves its longstanding level of control over school taxes and control over district boundaries. Unfortunately, the legislature, through SB 122, has already removed some of this local control temporarily to allow the state board to redraw district lines without the inconvenience of a referendum. But it's the WIAC itself and not the legislature per se in the current WIAC plan draft. It is the WIAC which is setting out to end the use of referendums for approval of operating taxes. So I ask the WIAC to please support the fundamental democratic principle represented by tax referendums. Please revise your report to support this principle. The current local school boards were not elected to have this taxing authority, which you're proposing. My second point is around the risks of an overreaching or ideologically driven plan. The public should recognize that the law calls for the WIAC plan to be consistent with some or all of the WIAC recommendations. Some or all. It doesn't call for expanding the WIAC's mandate far beyond the WIAC recommendations. So not only do I suggest that the WIAC plan get back to the action lists recommended by the WIAC, I further suggest that the WEAC plan contains some but not all of those WEAC recommendations. I suggest that this revised focus of the WEAC plan, in order to ensure that the plan actually passes through the state board, the legislature, and the governor with approval by all. Asking for everything under the sun will risk failure. Alienating the advocates for successful magnet and charter school programs will risk failure. Neglecting to lay out a detailed cost and funding plan will risk failure. The WEAC plan should be weighted more to the essential and less to the distant, aspirational, or ideological in order to improve its chances for viable public support and for legislative and executive acceptance. So please pick and choose your message and your priorities carefully. Respect all of our public constituencies. Please go with what the public can broadly support, shooting for a one-sided moon, for a one-sided moonshot, and then flaming out on the launch pad doesn't do anyone any good. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Clampett. Bill Doolittle.
My name is Bill Doolittle. I'm an advocate for children at risk, including children in poverty, children with disabilities, and English language learners. WEAC's potential is the best chance to allow children at risk to meet their potential that we've had in over 40 years. This opportunity includes moving forward to focus resources for these children at risk in Wilmington using best practices to fully fund and meet their needs. So in practical terms, what would fully funding best practices mean? For every school, fully supported school-wide programs with social, emotional, and trauma supports. Extended learning opportunities, including before and after school, weekends, summertime opportunities, not just for academic curriculum, but to develop the broader skills and strength that our children need to succeed. Opportunities for individualized learning, including smaller student-teacher ratios and direct support when needed. A robust family outreach and engagement system that allows every family to benefit from being part of the school community. And strong, extensive professional development and support for our educators, not just for academics, but be prepared to meet children's broader needs in a culturally competent way. If funded and implemented with fidelity, our schools with high percentages of children at risk would receive 12 to 20 additional teachers and counselors to make sure our children are fully supported throughout the day and ready to learn when they walk into the classroom. While the WEAC plan calls for adequate funding to accomplish this, the WEAC funding committee examples provide less than half of what is required to meet these needs. Worse yet, the insistence that the initial funding must be district-wide for Christina and Red Clay rather than focusing on children living in the highest levels of concentrations of poverty in Wilmington is a problem. While there are certainly pockets of poverty in the suburbs, it is important to understand that to put these two districts' funding ahead of other Wilmington students in poverty, including those in Brandywine and Colonial, and those in Wilmington's charter schools serving high concentration of poverty, as well as ahead of other students in high concentrations of poverty elsewhere in the state, is a problem. There is no fully equitable way to phase in these supports. The most critical issue is that fully funding the state's two largest districts before funding any other high-needs districts and schools will likely doom what would have been a challenging initiative to get funded by a legislature to one that almost has no chance of being funded as prescribed in the plan. We need a plan which fully meets our high-risk children's needs and is structured so that politically it has some chance of being passed and funded. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Doolittle. Lee Davis.
Good evening. My name is Lee Davis. I am a retired Red Clay teacher, retired Red Clay board member, and I am representing myself. A single feat of daring can alter the whole concept of what is possible. The collective people throughout the state of Delaware must finally put words into action. Are we a state where education is a priority? I support the commission in their efforts. It takes courage to decide that what we need, that we need this change more than we are afraid of it. Do concerns lurk in the back of my mind? Yes, about how this will help students, capacity, trust, timelines, and a list of specific priorities. However, I believe that we need to act boldly, for we cannot stay where we are. As Mr. Hanby said at last night's meeting, we can no longer wait. Personally, I am weary of fighting the old. Let's build something better. Please understand that redistricting with sustainable funding streams is only a first step. The new resolution appears to put in checks and balance, a system of checks and balances. Even now, foundational bricks are being laid. Yes, we need funding. Talk to your legislators and say, I value education. Find a way to fund our schools. Yes, we need honest and true collaboration among our districts and between charters in our districts. Conversations are beginning to happen. Action needs to follow. Yes, we need the business community to partner with us to build a strong, educationally and economically viable Delaware. Money helps, but we need them to truly engage. Let our voices ring loud. The status quo in Delaware is not acceptable. Remember, a single feat of daring can alter the whole concept of possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Do we have another speaker sheet? Corey Nuvu. How far off was I?
It rhymes.
Corey Nori.
It rhymes. It's memorable, at least, right? So, hi, everyone. I'm Corey Nori. I am the parent of two children at Highlands, and I am a city resident. So, all right, and I'm going to speak really fast for my 3 minutes. Don't time until I start. No. Okay. As I listen to more and more discussions about the issues with the city kids, I'm more and more resolute in my belief that we desperately need to assist these children. While these children face the mind-blowing challenges of poverty and all that entails, they're also facing bigotry, racism, discrimination, and being told they are not deserving, less than others, and not worth fighting for. And it sickens me. To those who do not understand the cycle of poverty and what children are dealing with every day, let me help enlighten you. Research clearly demonstrates the trauma of being raised in poverty without access to basic needs and resources. Trauma to one's psyche, trauma to one's physical being, trauma to one's ability to focus, trauma to one's ability to regulate emotions, and trauma to one's ability to learn. I don't know how anyone can be a star pupil when his stomach is growling as he hasn't had food in the past 16 hours. I don't know how anyone can stay awake and be attentive in a classroom when the night before she was kept awake by gunfire outside and the sirens and lights of first responders on the scene. I don't know how anyone can prepare for standardized testing when he's sharing one room with five other people and there's no electricity again. His clothes haven't been washed in a week. This is the reality that people are facing. In school, someone makes fun of him for having knockoff Jordans. His mom had to work 5 hours for the knockoff Jordans. 5 hours for the knockoff pair in her minimum wage job. The real ones would have cost her 17 hours of work to pay for them. They show up to school every day to do the best they can. They're greeted by teachers who encourage them, support them, respect them, and guide them, usually at the teacher's financial expense. The teachers are there to educate these children, but so much of their time is spent loving, nurturing, and protecting them from what they experience every day when they leave the shelter and safety of the school building. To say that schools don't need resources for mental health supports is negligent and deliberately ignorant to what these kids need most. They need trauma-informed professionals who can help these kids with strategies to grow and offer them guidance in their social-emotional learning. These children are in school for one half of their waking hours, assuming they have a place to physically sleep where it can close their eyes each night.
During those hours, these kids need every possible resource and support to make to circumvent their lives. School is the refuge they have, the chance to get a little more ahead, a chance to work with all kinds of people and learn about opportunities. Just because people choose to not learn about reality or haven't experienced it themselves doesn't mean it doesn't exist. How lucky some people are to have never had to worry about where their next meal is going to come from or if all their children will make it home safe tonight. The weighted funding for students living in poverty is the right thing to do. This is not going to be a quick fix, but it's fixable within a generation. If we focus energies and resources on the students who need them, all kids will be better served and have better outcomes. Poverty is real, and it's a vicious cycle. We have donors willing to fund research to cure all kinds of medical ills. There isn't a funding source to cure poverty. I've heard it time and time again from unsympathetic population who blames these parents, and even worse, the children, for their circumstances. No child will suffer because of the weighted funding for children living in poverty. It will only enhance the entire culture of education for Delaware, and more specifically, Wilmington. The teachers will be able to spend time teaching, children will spend time learning, and students who need it will be able to get the access to supports and resources they need to help them be prepared to learn each day. It's a win for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Murray. Jen Rubush.
Hi, I'm just a parent here. I've been coming to some of the meetings. I don't know all the details of the plan. I've got a ninth grader at Charter School of Wilmington and a seventh grader at Brandywine Springs. They've grown up going to a school that they can walk to, that's been safe, that's been quiet, but it hasn't been enough for me, knowing that they're not really getting the experience of what it's really like as part of the world. And I'd love for them to have more diversity, to be more involved with what's going on in the community. And I'd like to even give up some of their privileges that they've had to know that other kids throughout the state and the country and whatever are getting the same upbringing. I know we can't. It's just such a complex issue, but I'm worried that enough people don't know the details of what the commission has been doing. And I know you guys have done a lot of putting things on Facebook and whatever that you can get out, but there's so many people that don't know what's going on. They don't know what this plan is even about, and I'm worried that the legislators aren't going to know what the constituents want because the constituents don't know what's the plan and what's going on, and I'm worried that if the plan doesn't fail, what's going to happen next? So I want to encourage the commission to find ways to continue this fight because it's vital for everyone to have more equality and more safety and more more privilege for all of our kids. And I just think we need to get more people involved, and I don't know how to do that. That our schools are asked to do, that the city schools are asked to do more, and the county, the suburbs, too, to do so much more than just teach the kids. That how can we have a good education if we don't have a good foundation, reaching out with the community resources and religious resources? And I don't know if the commission's, what all they've done. Like I said, I don't know all the details. But I just want to say keep fighting and keep working on it and keep reaching out. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rubush. Andy Hegedus.
Good evening. I've been involved in Wilmington schools and education finance for over a decade, and I'm here tonight because I think education finance is our point of highest leverage. First, I want to state that I'm fully supportive of the WEAC recommendations and that we must take action. The WEAC report lists necessary actions. In two areas, I think these necessary steps should be done. but they are not sufficient for us to reach all of our goals. I'll comment on both. The first issue is the additional funding for students in poverty, English language learners, and special ed. It is necessary, and I agree with the first step of doing a weighted unit allocation. However, more funding is not enough without a reallocation of funding that is in the system. Without resources, teachers can't be successful. Over time, senior teachers move to easier to be successful in schools. If you run the numbers on city schools and suburban schools and you look at the average all-in costs of the teachers in those schools, there's about a $50,000 difference in that. And so if you look at a medium-sized school with about 20 teachers, that would mean that about $1 million is allocated more to suburban schools than to city schools. Any arguments I've heard against moving to a student-weighted funding are not against reallocation. They're all issues of transition and how we get there that I'm sure if we put our heads together we can address. The second issue is allowing school boards to raise operating funds within a small limit. This is also necessary because increased costs for salaries and energy and other issues can be accommodated. This power should be a permanent power and not temporary as outlined in the report as it's currently written. The fundamental issue here, though, is one of accountability and misplaced accountability. If you look at how voters vote, right now they vote based on funding rather than on school boards. If we change the dynamics so that school boards can raise operating funds themselves and include recall powers for board members and shorter board terms, then that will change the dynamics of the system and people will vote for accountability and the governance and leadership will be accountable for raising funds and for changing the dynamics of the system rather than have the burden be on the teachers and the students when there's not enough operating funds to run a district. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hegedus. We have any other? Nandi. Since I murder your name every time I say it, I'm going to let you say it. So if you'd say it as you start speaking.
Thank you, sir. Councilman Anamdi Chipocha, and I'm presenting a letter on behalf of the City of Wilmington's Education, Youth, and Families Committee. We, the members of the City Council of Wilmington Education, Youth, and Families Committee, would like to thank the members of the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission for its efforts to improve the quality of the education delivered to the students of Wilmington. Our committee supports WEIC in its mission and understands that accomplishing its goals will lead to improved educational opportunities for our children, schools, communities, and city. This body stands in agreement with efforts to reduce the number of school districts servicing the city of Wilmington. As stated in our letter dated March the 19th, 2015, included in the original WEAC report, in order to establish this two-district model, the committee believes that it is imperative that city-specific dialogue and planning occur with Red Clay and Brandywine school districts. Although redistricting efforts have moved forward, to date, full district collaboration has not occurred. Without full participation from the partnering districts, the likelihood for success is drastically diminished. This committee believes that moving all of Wilmington children from Christina and Colonial School districts into Red Clay District will not only increase the burden on district, but also intensify the number of high poverty schools within the city. An appropriate redistricting solution must be equitable and fair to our children, families, schools, communities, and our city. The members of the Education, Youth, and Families Committee agree that our state should move to a weighted student funding formula. This change will help to assure that our students have the classroom and school-based supports needed to promote their growth and development. We hold the position that funding needs to be the priority change that fuels redistricting efforts and not vice versa. Our city continues to develop its role, ensuring that our children are receiving fair and equitable educational opportunities. The City of Wilmington Office of Education and Public Policy and the Wilmington Education Alliance are essential to this committee and our city having an active and contributing leadership role in advancing the educational opportunities for our students. Again, we are in support of WEAC recommendations, but believe that more district collaboration is needed in the redistricting effort, that funding needs to take priority, and that the Office of Education and Public Policy for our city must be established to develop a plan for our city action and leadership for our city's future. Submitted by the members of the Wilmington City Council Education, Youth, and Families Committee. Anandi Chukwocha, Chair, Dr. Hanifa Shabazz, Sherry Dorsey Walker, Michael A. Brown Sr., Maria Cabrera, and Ernest Tripicondo. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Chukwocha. Elaine Keeley.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Helene Healy, and I'm a state representative in the 3rd District. And I've sat through several of these hearings and decided tonight was a night that I wanted to make some public comments. It was my legislation that actually allowed the committee to go forward and come up with a plan. And I'm very hopeful with the plan. I don't necessarily think it's 100% perfect, but I don't think anything is 100% perfect. I think we need to be very cautious and make sure that the funding is there, and that comes down to our responsibility on the state level to make sure that it is available. I agree with Namdi and many other speakers that spoke tonight about the weighted funding formula. But most importantly, I think we need to be very careful about the time frame of this. We cannot do this all at once. We have to make sure that every student, every school is prepared to transition into whichever new district it might be. I'm hopeful that Brandywine and Colonial and Red Clay and Christina will work collectively together. And the most important reason that I say that collectively together is I started out my morning today at 8 a.m. at the Hope Commission. And they did show that there was some hope. And the woman who eloquently spoke a few minutes ago about PTSD and the trauma, I think it was one of the teachers that spoke about how she has to deal with every single day with her classroom, her students in the classroom. Well, we understand that if we do not solve this issue this time around, because obviously desegregation didn't work, neighborhood schools has not worked. In my personal belief, this is the last chance we have. Otherwise, we're going to have 20,000 million Hope Commissions out there. A young gentleman spoke from his heart this morning and said for the first time in his life, he had a father figure. He had the opportunity to have someone encourage him on a daily basis. Unfortunately, this is the reality of city students. Like it or not, born and raised here in the city, I'm the last of my siblings that still lives here. The others live in the suburbs. Their kids are very lucky to go to the schools that they have gone to and are currently in. I can't say that for my constituents. However, we can try and make sure that we give them the opportunity that every other student has in really good schools. otherwise will be paying on the back end with incarceration. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Keeley. Inetta Jones.
I wasn't going to say anything, but I made a vow to my students. My name is Equetta Jones. I am a parent of children who live in the city. I was born and raised in the city. I am a product of city schools. I also teach in a city school, and I pay taxes, and I live in the city of Wilmington. My children attended Warner Elementary School. My oldest is thriving, full scholarship at Wilmington University, which he was offered multiple opportunities at other places. My middle child is at McCain. He lives in a city. He's transported there. He's doing well. And my baby is at AI High. The reason I'm standing here is because at my dinner table, my children also often ask me why people don't see them for who they are, which also prompted a conversation in my classroom. I'm very transparent. So we talk about current events. And my students want to know why people don't see them. They want to know why they are in the newspaper, but no one takes the time to come into their classroom. Because if you come into Wilmington University and Delaware State University, which are the names of our classrooms, they know their data. They can articulate their data. They understand what the SRI is. They understand what the SMI is. They understand what our Scotch-Forsman's baseline data is, Unit 1 data and Unit 2 data, as well as all of their math expressions data. Quite frankly, they can articulate better than some of my counterparts in other schools. But their question is why doesn't anyone take the time to come and see what we're learning? Why do they think that our teachers can't teach us? Right now, for our school, they love it. We've been reconfigured. We have a 3-4-5 at Warner, K through 2 down the street. Our students love it. It's a different mindset. But when they come to me and they say, well, Ms. Jones, if I live here, will I have to go to another school? Because they know. I shouldn't have to be the one to answer that question. So those of us, we have legislators. We have, our district is very, you know, well represented. They embrace our children. But when they ask me and they're actually taking the time to run for offices in the city government as a mock in our building, they have a right to know. They have a right to be heard. And I made a commitment to do that for them. That's it.
Thank you, Ms. Jones. Any other sign-ups? Is there anyone else here at this moment who would like to speak? This is your opportunity. I'm not trying to rush you, but this is giving you the chance to think it through. If not, we have had this situation. There's someone who, sometimes if you just wait long enough. kids are first. Thanks. Reed Milius is our next speaker.
Thinking I should have spoke at a different one where I wasn't facing the crowd. Oh, sorry. All right. My name is Reed Milius, just representing myself and letting you know that I reviewed the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission's interim redistricting plan titled Redistricting in the City of Wilmington and New Castle County, a Transition, Resource, and Implementation Plan. And I would like to thank the commission for inviting formal public comments beginning on November 17th and continuing through January 14th. Specifically, my comments are based on the December 7th version of the interim plan. As a parent and guardian of three children impacted by this plan, and an advocate for all children, I had the following observations. First, I want to express my agreement with the commission's recommendation that developing a public education system with a coherent and responsive governance arrangement will positively impact the success of all children. My second observation is that the plan is a very complex and multifaceted document. I'm concerned that the families that are being impacted the most by the plan may not have the ability or the opportunity to fully understand the impact of the plan may have on their family. The commission should consider its approach to informing those targeted the most by the plan and its changes. My third observation is that the plan provides very little, if any, information on the cost of implementing the plan. The commission should consider including a description of the cost of redistricting as well as the possible savings, i.e. busing and overhead and administration. The plan describes two fiscal commitments from the local community, including property reassessment and a tax rate adjustment. However, it does not describe how the community will be informed and encouraged to support and authorize the increases. The commission also needs to ensure the message is consistent and clear across all documents. For example, in the document provided to us tonight, it states that this is the red clay specific questions. Sorry. Q&A for the Red Clay School District. It states no Delaware taxpayer should experience undue tax burden because of redistricting. However, on page 5 of the plan, it states a 2018 and 2019 fiscal year to authorize impacted districts to make limited tax rate increases. My final observation is the plan neglected to describe the impact on all of the students. It failed to describe the impact of redistricting on students, including those remaining in the Christina School District. I would be interested in learning more about how the commission intends to continue to support Christina in serving a large population of low-income children who need just as much support, even if they're not living in the Wilmington districts. They face a lot of the same challenges in Newark area that is a part of the redistricting for Christina. There are several low-income subsidized housing communities that we need to remember to support ongoingly. I think that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Milius. Althea Smith-Tucker.
Althea Good evening, everyone. My name is Alethea Smith Tucker. Good evening, everyone. My name is Alethea Smith Tucker, and I'm a concerned parent here in Wilmington. After reviewing the commission report, there were some blaring information that was missing, specifically how this commission and the changes by redistricting would directly impact the education of the students. What the focus appears to be is the tax assessment and also just the redistricting as a whole, speaking primarily regarding logistics as opposed to methods and ways of improving education. I'm concerned that there were no alternatives offered to this plan, and I'm also concerned that the primary focus is to have a total property assessment for the entire state versus a direct concern with the education of the children. That information was excluded. We do not know how Red Clay would choose to help the low-income population in any direct way, given the fact that Red Clay also has priority schools in their district. So they do not show a superior standing versus Christina. So it troubles me that the information doesn't include how Red Clay would approach improving children's education directly. Additionally, one thing that Dr. Allen had mentioned a while ago at one of our earlier meetings is that Red Clay was selected because it was amenable to charter schools. My primary concern is that the privatization of education. Because of that, I don't think that should be a reason or a cause to shore up public education if that is the primary premise. So those are my comments. I would like to see more board members added, more representation of parents. There was a commission of several committees, and the only information that was put out specifically was from the finance committee, not the parent engagement committee, not the improvement committee. None of that information was put forth. So I don't feel at this time that there was necessary due diligence prepared in order to favorably move forward with this redistricting.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Smith-Picker. Any other comments at this time? Anyone else? We are required to continue this meeting until 8 p.m., but what we have done in several of the other public hearings, when we have reached the stage, a saturation point, where anyone who has wanted to speak has had that opportunity, is that we have temporarily suspended the meeting and then reconvened to see if someone may have changed their mind in that intervening time, or if anyone new may have come into the meeting. So what I will do at this time is to suspend this public hearing for about 15 minutes, thereabout. You are able to mingle, talk, interact, use the restroom, and we will reconvene just prior to 8 o'clock to see if there are any other comments to be made. Thank you very much for coming this evening. I'd like to call the hearing back into session, please. Thank you. And I'd like to once again call on anyone who has not yet spoken this evening. Is there anyone else who would like to make a public comment for the record this evening? Anyone who has not yet spoken? I did want to remind everyone there is one more public hearing, which will be on Monday, December the 14th, in the City Council chambers. Effectively, it is a citywide public hearing, whereas all of the other public hearings have been co-sponsored by districts and kind of targeted on specific school districts. At that time as well, there will be an opportunity for a question and answer session before the public hearing begins. And I believe the timing is that the question and answer session will start at 6:30 in the City Council chambers. That will run for approximately an hour. There'll be an opportunity there. And the public hearing then will begin at 7:30 and run until 9 p.m. 8:30? I guess it's advertised as 8:30. One last call. Is there anyone else in the room who would like to make a statement this evening on the record? No other sign-ups? So, this hearing is now closed. I want to thank all of you for coming this evening and participating. All comments made today or submitted between November the 17th and tonight will be considered as part of the final report submitted by the Commission to the State Board of Education on December the 15th. All comments made today or submitted between November the 17th and January the 14th will be available to the State Board of Education to consider. That means that comments made at the public hearing next Monday night will be made available for the State Board of Education's consideration. All right. Thank you all very much for your participation this evening.